you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Yanni or Laurel? Yanni or Laurel? Did you hear about this story? Yeah, this past week, somebody posted an audio clip from vocabulary.com, you know, where the narrator pronounces the word you're looking up. In this case, the word was laurel, like a wreath that they give to the winner of a race or something like that. And lots of people heard Laurel, but other people heard him say Yanni. So naturally, this online controversy erupted, and the whole thing went viral. And by the way, the term viral is highly appropriate in this case because the whole thing just makes me sick. Now, so my wife and I are watching a news story about this. Yanni or Laurel? It was on Special Report. Brett Baier, Fox News. And my wife said the first time she heard it, she thought it sounded like Laurel. But then the next time she heard it, it sounded like Yanni. You know what it sounded like to me? It sounded like, I don't care. Yanni or Laurel? Really? On the news? I mean, don't we have any real news stories out there? You know, like tragedy in the Middle East or peace talks in North Korea, something more important than Yanni or Laurel. How about Astros or Rockets? Heck, that's more important to me than Yanni or Laurel. And by the way, we did face that dilemma twice this past week, on Monday and Wednesday night when both games were on at the same time. At least that one's easy to figure out. Astros or Rockets? Both. That's why you got that little button on the remote that lets you go back and forth between the two channels. But Yanni or Laurel? That whole phenomenon, to me, just demonstrates how out of whack our society is today. I know I sound like an old man telling kids to get off his lawn, but really, this is what we spend our time on now? You know, the great writer Tom Wolfe passed away this past week, and he used to make fun of us baby boomers for how self-absorbed we were back in the 70s, and we were. But things like Yanni or Laurel, and social media in general, I think they've just kind of taken self-absorbed beyond the Kardashian stage, if you know what I mean. I have to admit, it makes me worry about the direction society is headed. I mean, especially if it's considered news. I realize most young people get their news from late-night talk comedy shows and highly unreliable online sources, but I think we should be focusing on much more important issues than Yanni or Laurel. How about something really important, like Cajun or Creole? Hey, this is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, and today's the day! So if you're looking for something cool to do, may we suggest the Boyd's One-Stop Crawfest at the base of the Texas City Dyke today. Now, we've been talking about this event for weeks now. In fact, we have Dave Fremont of Boyd's One-Stop in studio to tell us all about it. So welcome back, Dave. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you, Randy. It's always good to be here.
You're getting to be a regular around here. You trying to take my gig?
I try to stay regular.
Well, that's the end of that part of this conversation. Today is the big day at Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dyke. It's the Crawfest. Is that what you're calling it?
We're calling it Crawfest, and that's spelled F-U-N.
Yeah. Well, tell us all about it. It starts at 11 o'clock this morning, but what's going to happen in the Crawfest?
Oh, lots of fun, Randy. It's just going to, we're going to kick it off at 11 right there at the base of the Texas City Dyke when you enter. We've got places for parking, and we'll have it all set up where when you come in, you'll see right where to go, and the ones that have paid early will be, there'll be a list there where you'll slide right on in. You'll get your hand stamped, and you'll be able to enter and just go right into the good things that we'll have. We're going to have a crawfish cook-off. We're going to have crawfish eating. We're going to have just a big kid zone, lots of things for the kiddos to do. We'll have some little kiddie pools or whatever set up for the kids to catch crawfish, and we might even have some prizes and trophies or a little something like that for them for doing that. But just a whole myriad of things to do, Randy, that's involved with having a good time with your family and good eating and just a great outdoor session.
And family friendly, we should emphasize that.
Absolutely. That's what's going to be different about this Crawfest, we hope, is that when you come, you'll see that it's just a good time for the kids, you know. A lot of times crawfish festivals are set up for the adults, and sometimes the kids kind of get left out on the byway. But we're going to really try to set it up where the families can take advantage of this and bring the children out and have a good time.
Now, where can they find out more about this online?
Well, Randy, we're set up on our website, and that's Boyd's One Stop, BOYDSONESTOP.com. So when you come in mid-morning this morning, we'll have tickets available right there at the gate for $15 for adults and $7 for kiddos. And like I say, we'll have plenty of room for parking.
And I'm going to come out there, too, this afternoon. So come by and see me. We'll talk about our old days on the Hudson and Harrigan Show.
That's one of the highlights, is that we're going to have you there, and I'm looking so forward to seeing you there here shortly. And I'll be looking for you. I'm going to be watching for you right there at the gate.
So that's 11 a.m. this morning till 11 p.m. tonight at the base of the Texas City Dyke, the Crawfest with Boyd's One Stop. Thanks for coming by, Dave. Always good to see you.
Thank you, sir.
Now, in keeping with that line of thought, we decided that today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show should focus on, well, duh, as Dave just said, crawfish, but also on Cajun cooking techniques in general. You know, Boyd's also has that Cajun Cafe right next door, and you can get just about any kind of Louisiana dish you can imagine, and probably a couple you've never heard of before. As a matter of fact, I've even got one that most of you have not tried before. It's called sauce piquant. Now, if you haven't heard of sauce piquant before, don't feel bad. I hadn't either until I met my sweet wife in Shreveport, Louisiana over 45 years ago. But sauce piquant was a staple in her family, so I ate it several times and loved it, I might add. You won't be surprised to hear it's a rice-based dish. And you can feature virtually any kind of meat with it. If I recall correctly, my mother-in-law first served it to me with chicken. But you can use lots of other more exotic meats, too, like venison, turtle, frog, yes, crawfish, even alligator. Tastes just like chicken. Okay, maybe tough chicken with sharp teeth, but just like chicken. Maybe chewy chicken. Heck, if you roast something long enough, bear meat can even be tender. And yes, I have eaten bear meat, thank you very much. Anyway, sauce piquant looks a lot like red gumbo, but it carries a much heavier tomato taste. I guess that's why it's red. And its consistency is really thick. Think gumbo meets chili. The tomato element makes sauce piquant more of a Creole dish than a Cajun dish, and we're going to talk about that more later. But you know, if you add a big old cake of my wife's homemade cornbread, I usually don't have room for dessert. Yes, I do. That's a big fat lie with a capital L. I've always got room for dessert. But I will tell you this. Sauce piquant will fill you up faster than you can run a trot line in a P-row, my friend. So to make sauce piquant, you start with a dark roux. Don't all Louisiana dishes start with a roux? Now, the caveat is if your sauce piquant is going to use seafood, you should stop the roux from browning any further than about the color of peanut butter. Certainly not that thick. Then you add the onion, celery, and green pepper. Don't all Louisiana dishes add onion, celery, and green pepper? Some cooks use tomato paste, but everybody uses tomatoes. I know one old bio boy who likes to use the canned tomatoes with green chilies. It's made by Rotel. You can find it in the grocery store. He also adds red wine, but that's not required. Then you just simmer it for about 2 or 3 days. The longer the better. Oh, and one more tip. Dice up the meat real small. And if the meat you're using is gamey, you know, like gator or venison or bear, then that simmer for 2 or 3 days might not be the over-exaggeration I made it out to be. Because gamey meats have less fat, and that means they're much tougher. So slow and low. And if I have to tell you how to make white rice, you need to just let somebody else do the cooking. Like Greg Berlocker, our executive producer and foodie here on the show. Greg's going to be one of our guests today. And he promised me he's going to have lots of good insights into Cajun and Creole cooking techniques and some of the historical background for both of those cuisines. He's coming up first. And then Dominic Mandola of the Raging Cajun's going to give us a second opinion, including crawfish, because today's the day. The first annual Boyd's Crawfest at the base of the Texas City Dike starts at 11 a.m. this morning, goes till 11 o'clock tonight. So we're going to pinch, peel, eat, and repeat all day. Bring your appetite, and I'll see you there.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Randy Hames here. Mark your calendar for Saturday, May 19th, and join me for the first annual Boyd's Texas City Crawfest, hosted by Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dike. The Crawfest will be right next door to Boyd's, with plenty of parking and all the crawfish you can eat for only $2 a pound. Lots to eat and lots of fun for the whole family, featuring live music, a kid zone with bounce houses, splash pad, face painting, and even a place where the little ones can go fishing for mud bugs. There's also a crawfish cook-off, and Boyd's One Stop will provide a huge bag of crawfish for every team that's officially registered to compete. The fun starts at 11 a.m. Saturday, May 19th, and lasts until 11 p.m., so come early and stay late. I'll even be there, so come on out and visit. Advance tickets are only $10 for adults and $5 for kids. It's the first annual Boyd's Texas City Crawfest, Saturday, May 19th at Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dike. Get advance tickets and all the details at boydsonestop.com. And I'll see you there.
Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls. But not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Randy Hames for Lone Star Grills with a Z. Lone Star Grills builds custom smokers, barbecue pits, fire pits, trailer pits, mobile barbecue pits, and more. All in their state-of-the-art computer-controlled fabrication shop manned by skilled craftsmen. Amber and Chris Goodlander meet every customer and every customer's needs. Don't see what you want? They'll custom build it for you. No converted oil drums here. Lone Star Grill's fully tooled on-site fabrication shop can construct anything in steel, stainless steel, or aluminum with flawless precision and the highest quality workmanship every time. Lone Star Grills also has Big Green Eggs, pellet smokers and grills, plus a full line of high-quality made-in-the-USA gas grills and all the accessories. Check out their showroom on I-45 in Willis or call 936-344-6151. And they ship cookers all over the world from their website, LoneStarGrills.com. You spell grills with a Z, but you'll give them an A-plus every time. Lone Star Grills, you deserve the best.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We're happy to say hello to a guy who's soon going to have to start paying dues to the Plumbers Union. Our executive producer, Greg Berlocker. How you doing, Greg?
Doing great, Randy.
I say that because Greg and his wife, Sally, own this cool little beach house down in Rockport, and it got slammed pretty hard by Hurricane Harvey, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've been spending a lot of their weekends down there making repairs, and Greg recently told me that he has personally had to replace a toilet in one of the bathrooms. So how's your progress?
Well, we've made a decision on which toilet to buy, so we haven't changed it yet. So, but we had electrical work, we had some vent work, we've had ceilings done, we've had a roof done, so we're just about ready to finish up the last few projects. So.
Long story short, you haven't yet replaced the toilet.
Correct, correct.
So this involves cutting off the water and taking out the old toilet?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty simple process. So you just unbolt it and remove it, and there's a wax seal down there that keeps everything dry, and you put a new toilet in and you bolt it down and it's and then hook up the water. So it's really quite simple.
Easy for you to say.
It's not something I want to do every month, but I've done it once before and found out it really wasn't that bad of a project.
Well, listen, I replaced not a toilet, just the toilet lid and seat, and it took me half a day.
Yep.
And I was extremely proud that I did just that. If I had to replace the entire toilet, I think I'd be better off just building an outhouse in the backyard.
Well, the reason why we haven't gotten around to the toilet is I replaced the vent hood over the stove. So the box said it would take 10 minutes. So it actually took 7 hours and three Advil. and it does work, but we just flat ran out of time.
As a matter of fact, Greg is soon slated to be the new host of a home fixer-upper show on the radio.
Oh, heavens no.
Well, now, you also told me that Rockport just got slammed hard. Not just your house, but every house in Rockport. But you also mentioned to us that Rockport is amazingly resilient. So how's the town doing?
It's really great. The high school was supposed to be closed for a full year. It opened up after about 120 days. Ellen DeGeneres just donated $1 million to the rebuilding of the gymnasium.
Cool.
Yep. And we're still down a number of hotels. There were 23 hotels and some fairly major brands, but there's only 8 of those that are open. So that tells you that when a hotel is damaged, it was pretty bad. So, but fortunately, things are starting to get back to normal.
Well, now today on the Boyd's Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, we're getting ready for the Boyd's Crawfest at the base of the Texas City Dike. That means there's going to be a whole lot of mud bug eating going on.
Man, I'm looking forward to this.
And we talked to Dave Fremont, but he's not much of a crawfish eater. He prefers shrimp, and so he didn't really have a recipe for crawfish. Let's talk about crawfish boils. Have you done these?
I have.
So let's talk about this for just a minute. How do you like to do well, let's just start off at the beginning. You've told me before you love the shopping process almost as much as the cooking and the eating process. Mm-hmm. So what should we be looking for when we're shopping for crawfish?
Oh, gosh. Number one, fresh. You want to make sure when the crawfish, you dump them out to clean them off, is to make sure they're all alive. So if they're all curled up and you want to get rid of the dead ones, that's not a good thing. And the reason why I like Boyd so much is that they do such a volume. Mm-hmm. You know, those aren't sitting in a cooler for a week or 2 weeks waiting for somebody to buy them.
Yep.
They turn over every single day at Boyd's.
As a matter of fact, you and I were walking through the cooler with Dave Fremont, and we saw all these mountains of crawfish that were sitting in that freezer. And I said, how many of these will you move? And he went, well, all of them. today.
Yeah, 4 tons.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Every day. That's just amazing.
So now there seems to be a bit of a controversy about purging or not purging. By purging, I don't mean just washing them off. Mm-hmm. I mean throwing them into some clear, clean water with a bunch of salt that supposedly forces the crawfish to purge themselves. We won't get any more. But we'll put that delicately. We won't get any more...
graphic?
Yes, good word. We won't get any more graphic than that. But and I think we all know what that means. How do you feel about it? Some people think that's ridiculous.
Crawfish, you know, being a crustacean like a shrimp, they have a sand track. And you want to get that out if you can. And so the whole idea of purging crawfish is you want them to just expel all of the grit and the sand before you eat them.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people do it, and I've seen people not do it. And to tell you the truth, I have not personally had a batch of crawfish that I've eaten to say, ooh, they didn't purge these. So if they're really bad and you get them and you haven't purged them, you'd probably notice, but I've never – had some that were so bad that I noticed that, wow, they should have done this. So,
what about cookers? Is bigger better?
Oh, gosh. I think the most important thing there is to make sure that you leave the crawfish in the seasoned water. So once you cook them, it's like shrimp. If you cook them too long, they become tough.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Then let's talk about seasoning then. You can buy seasoning in a store. But somehow I don't think that's good enough for you, Greg. Do you have your own recipe?
Actually, I have two favorites. Boyd's is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
That comes right out of Louisiana. And then Zatarain's is my second go-to.
So you don't do one on your own?
I don't.
That's interesting. I would have thought you would have done your own. So then sequencing is very important. So how do you sequence the elements, the contents?
Well, the secret is I think you need to have all of the seasoning in solution. You really need to boil it for a while and bring it up. And, of course, all crawfish cookers seem to have their own favorite, a lot of lemons, onions, things like that to add a lot of extra flavor. So I think that's really a lot more important than size. And you probably do, I guess, if you're going to do a large volume of crawfish, you need to have enough water and seasoning to match that. So, you know, I haven't really sat down and thought about the ratio. I've got like a 60-quart crawfish cooker that's, what, a couple of feet tall and almost 2 feet wide. So
wow.
It'll hold a big bag of crawfish. So,
and you can fry catfish or shrimp in that too. Obviously not in the same water.
Yeah.
But you can dump that out and turn it into a fryer too, right?
You could if you want. It's really too tall to I've got a separate fry pan, but I use the same propane base.
Do you use a basket or do you just scoop things out and drain them?
I use a basket. I think that's when you're trying to scoop things out all at the same time. There's a commercial product called Spider, which is it's kind of like a slotted spoon, but it's about 6 inches wide and it's made out of wire. So you can pull up fried food real quickly all at once.
The Boyd's Crawfest today starts at 11 a.m. this morning at the base of the Texas City Dike, and they're going to have crawfish for only $2 a pound, fully cooked, ready to eat. So how much do you usually eat in one sitting, Greg?
Normally, today I'll probably eat a little bit more because they're $2 a pound. I mean, that's a bargain.
Yeah.
But I've been known to eat probably 8-10 pounds in one sitting. So now keep in mind, there's a lot of wastage when you peel them and things like that.
Sure.
But, gosh, yeah, 3-5 pounds is nothing to have a great meal.
So do you favor dumping everything onto a big picnic table covered in wax paper, or do you do it a little more formally?
Oh, no, just newspaper and dump it all out, and it's a communal thing where, you know, you have a routine. You pick the largest crawfish, and then you peel it, and you eat it, and then you repeat, you know. You try to pick out the largest one, so...
So wax paper is a step up for you.
Oh, absolutely. So butcher paper, newspaper, things like that. So, yeah, usually it's pretty good to put something on top of the newspaper so you don't get the newsprint all mixed up.
Unsurprisingly enough, We were going to talk about filet and a whole bunch of other stuff about Cajun cooking. And here we've already filled up a segment just talking about crawfish because the Boyd's Crawfest starts at 11 o'clock this morning. And you and I are both going to be out there roaming around, eating food, and having fun. I'll see you in the bounce house, by the way.
There you go.
So can you hang around and do another segment? Let's talk about other Cajun cooking.
I'd love to.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoke and hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Randy Hames for Lone Star Grills with a Z. Lone Star Grills builds custom smokers, barbecue pits, fire pits, trailer pits, mobile barbecue pits, and more. All in their state-of-the-art computer-controlled fabrication shop manned by skilled craftsmen. Amber and Chris Goodlander meet every customer and every customer's needs. Don't see what you want? They'll custom build it for you. No converted oil drums here. Lone Star Grill's fully tooled on-site fabrication shop can construct anything in steel, stainless steel, or aluminum with flawless precision and the highest quality workmanship every time. Lone Star Grills also has Big Green Eggs, pellet smokers and grills, plus a full line of high-quality made-in-the-USA gas grills and all the accessories. Check out their showroom on I-45 in Willis or call 936-344-6151. And they ship cookers all over the world from their website, LoneStarGrills.com. You spell grills with a Z, but you'll give them an A-plus every time. Lone Star Grills, you deserve the best. Randy Hames here. Mark your calendar for Saturday, May 19th, and join me for the first annual Boyd's Texas City Crawfest, hosted by Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dike. The Crawfest will be right next door to Boyd's, with plenty of parking and all the crawfish you can eat for only $2 a pound. Lots to eat and lots of fun for the whole family, featuring live music, a kid zone with bounce houses, splash pad, face painting, and even a place where the little ones can go fishing for mud bugs. There's also a crawfish cook-off, and Boyd's One Stop will provide a huge bag of crawfish for every team that's officially registered to compete. The fun starts at 11 a.m. Saturday, May 19th, and lasts until 11 p.m., so come early and stay late. I'll even be there, so come on out and visit. Advance tickets are only $10 for adults and $5 for kids. It's the first annual Boyd's Texas City Crawfest, Saturday, May 19th at Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dike. Get advance tickets and all the details at boydsonestop.com. And I'll see you there.
If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all the data remotely so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for a truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200 or NewStarInc.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We're back with Greg Berlocker, our executive producer here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. He is also our resident foodie and go-to plumber, but we'll talk more about that another time. We've spent enough time on toilets today, Greg. Instead, we're celebrating the Boyd's one-stop Crawfest at the base of the Texas City Dike, which starts at 11 a.m. this morning, and it's going to last until 11 p.m. tonight. And you and I are going to be there. But the subject of Cajun cooking comes out of all of this. We've talked a lot about crawfish because that's what the Crawfest is all about. But Cajun cooking is a style of cuisine all its own. And you were talking about some of the history of Cajun and Creole cooking. Talk about that for a moment, Greg.
Well, the Cajuns are a fascinating group of people. They,
as well I know, my wife is one.
Yep. So, you know, there were French... and they came to the maritime provinces, New Brunswick, areas along the east coast of Canada, and settled there for religious freedom. Mm-hmm. And then with the colonial wars, they ended up, the British chased them out of Canada from this area called Acadia. Well, they sailed to New Orleans and then hopped on steamboats and went up the Mississippi River. And the Acadian name became Cajun, so Acadian. These folks were seeking religious freedom and just were looking for some place to where they could just be left alone. So they went due west from Baton Rouge and through the Chaffalaya Swamp and settled in southwestern Louisiana. And their cuisine is just wonderful. It's different than anything else that you can imagine.
And very diverse, too.
Yes, extremely. It's quite a bit different than Creole. A lot of people mix up Creole and Cajun cuisine.
I do.
Creole is more what you find in New Orleans, and it is a great melting pot. This goes back hundreds of years, New Orleans, and you have Spanish, and you have French, and you have Native American influences. You certainly have slave influences and things like that. So, but you tend to see more sauces and lighter fare. Cajun food. Cajuns went out into the swamps and they lived off the land. And it's a more hearty, stick-to-your-ribs sort of cuisine, mainly rice-based, not nearly as much as tomatoes as you see in Creole cooking. But the Cajun society was really kind of a closed society when President Eisenhower authorized the Interstate Highway Program.
In the 1950s.
Yep, all the way back in the 50s. All of a sudden it started, when you would go through Jennings and southwest Louisiana, a lot of small towns, Arneville, that's north of I-10. Mm-hmm. But generally everything south of I-10 is just prime Cajun country. Even really all the way to Anahuac, Texas, quite a bit of Cajun cuisine all the way there. And then, of course, the Galveston Bay system kind of stopped that migration westward. So a lot of rice-based foods. You've got, jambalaya, shrimp etouffee, crawfish etouffee, boudin, which is a rice-based sausage, which is then flavored with bits of typically pork and onion. That's just a wonderful thing that's very Cajun. You've also got, of course, gumbo.
Let's talk about that for a minute. We always think about that Doug Kershaw song, crawfish pie, filet gumbo. Now, I know filet is based in sassafras, which is pretty common to that part of the country. Mm-hmm. But that's about all I know about filet. Explain the background of and the makeup of filet.
Okay. Filet are dried and ground sassafras leaves. And the sassafras tree has a lot of uses. The Native Americans used it. The Choctaw Indians used ground filet or ground sassafras leaves in some of their cooking. And some people claim that the word in Choctaw is the foundation for the word gumbo that we have. Others in the food history believe that it's an Angolan word called kingambo. The slaves actually brought over seeds with them for okra, and they tried to bring foods with them. Well, they couldn't bring the food, so they brought the seeds. So, and in certain gumbos, you use okra as a thickening agent. So you can use just a pure roux is a thickening agent. You can use okra, or you can use filet. So you would ask about filet. Mm-hmm. And generally, when you add filet to a gumbo, you do it at the very last. It's not something where you put it in and then you cook it for another 30 minutes. It's a thickening agent, and it's really a polarizing sort of subject. Some people like it, some people don't.
Why?
The ground sassafras leaves, a dear family friend used the term ropey, and it kind of
tastes
creates,
like a rope.
Well, it kind of
creates. How many ropes have you eaten, Greg?
It creates these thin strings of kind of texture.
Oh, and it's I not, see.
So anyway, the sassafras tree is also where we get root beer from. The sassafras root, you can actually boil, and that was where you make sassafras tea. So that was actually introduced to the world at a World's Fair in Chicago. And as root tea, and a friend of the inventor said, you know, it'd get a whole lot more traction if you called it beer. So, which is why we call it root beer.
Is that right?
Instead of, yeah, another food history fact. So,
so you mentioned Angola a moment ago. Mm-hmm. Angolian, did you say? Influences from the slaves that were brought over,
yes,
from Angola. Did just interesting point of fact. I don't know whether you realize this or not. The biggest state penitentiary in the state of Louisiana is named Angola.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of slave influence in Creole and Cajun cooking, or mostly just Cajun?
No, absolutely. All over the state. So as the slaves did most of the cooking, they introduced flavors that were new to them, but also things that were familiar with them. So okra is one of those, and I'm a big fan of okra, so I always tend to use that in gumbo. I like that better than the texture of filet.
And it seems to me, my wife being from Louisiana, that most of the dishes she prepares from her days there are just an excuse to make more rice.
You know the definition of a Cajun, right?
I'll bite.
That's somebody who can look at a rice field and tell you exactly how much gravy it takes to eat the whole thing. So.
Red beans and rice. Have you ever made red beans and rice?
Absolutely, and there's a great story behind that. That's a traditional Monday recipe. So in the Deep South, where before washers and dryers, say the wife would do laundry on a Monday. So they needed a recipe where you could put it on the stove on a low heat and cook all day long. Because they were busy doing the laundry. And so red beans and rice became the Monday kind of standard dinners. You take a ham bone or some meat that you would traditionally it was ham, and you'd use that bone, whatever meat was left over, and you just put that in a pot of red beans and let it simmer all day long.
Incidentally, and ironically, my wife does laundry on Monday. And one of her favorite Cajun dishes is red beans and rice. And my family absolutely adores it. Just another good reason to boil up some rice, I think.
There you go.
Because at our house, we call it Cooney ice cream. And Boyd's Crawfest, which is going on starting this morning at 11 o'clock, is also going to have a crawfish boil cook-off. By the way, in case of prizes, ties will be awarded. This has been Greg Berlocker, our executive producer, our go-to foodie, and of course, our newest member of the Plumbers Union. Don't forget to jiggle the handle, Greg.
There you go. Looking forward to eating some crawfish with you later today.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market. Just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com. Randy Hames for Lone Star Grills with a Z. Lone Star Grills builds custom smokers, barbecue pits, fire pits, trailer pits, mobile barbecue pits, and more. All in their state-of-the-art computer-controlled fabrication shop manned by skilled craftsmen. Amber and Chris Goodlander meet every customer and every customer's needs. Don't see what you want? They'll custom build it for you. No converted oil drums here. Lone Star Grill's fully tooled on-site fabrication shop can construct anything in steel, stainless steel, or aluminum with flawless precision and the highest quality workmanship every time. Lone Star Grills also has Big Green Eggs, pellet smokers and grills, plus a full line of high-quality made-in-the-USA gas grills and all the accessories. Check out their showroom on I-45 in Willis or call 936-344-6151. And they ship cookers all over the world from their website, LoneStarGrills.com. You spell grills with a Z, but you'll give them an A-plus every time. Lone Star Grills, you deserve the best. Randy Hames here. Mark your calendar for Saturday, May 19th, and join me for the first annual Boyd's Texas City Crawfest, hosted by Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dike. The Crawfest will be right next door to Boyd's, with plenty of parking and all the crawfish you can eat for only $2 a pound. Lots to eat and lots of fun for the whole family, featuring live music, a kid zone with bounce houses, splash pad, face painting, and even a place where the little ones can go fishing for mud bugs. There's also a crawfish cook-off, and Boyd's One Stop will provide a huge bag of crawfish for every team that's officially registered to compete. The fun starts at 11 a.m. Saturday, May 19th, and lasts until 11 p.m., so come early and stay late. I'll even be there, so come on out and visit. Advance tickets are only $10 for adults and $5 for kids. It's the first annual Boyd's Texas City Crawfest, Saturday, May 19th at Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dike. Get advance tickets and all the details at boydsonestop.com. And I'll see you there.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
Well, this should be fun. We're going to talk now with one of the more colorful personalities we've ever had on the show, Dominic Mandola of the iconic Ragin' Cajun Restaurants here in Houston. Welcome back, Dominic.
How you doing, Randy?
Doing well. When I call Dominic a colorful personality, he comes by it honestly. He is the son of Luke Mandola,
Luke and Tony Mandola, his cousin, are two of the zaniest people in the Houston business community. I can't even begin to tell you some of the stories that Luke, Tony, and I have shared over the decades from back when I was on the Hudson and Harrigan show. But needless to say, Dominic has inherited his family's bigger-than-life personality. So, Dominic, you're going to fit right in around here.
Perfect. Perfect.
How are Luke and Tony doing these days, anyway?
Everybody's doing well. Dad's good. He just turned 69, or he's going to be 69 this year. And Tony's doing well, too. So everybody's just rocking and rolling.
And we would be remiss if we didn't also ask about that crazy Cajun your family teamed up with, the found raging Cajun in the first place, Frank Messina. How's Frank doing?
Frank is doing well. He resides in Lake Arthur, Louisiana.
And if, for those of you who don't know, he was the crazy Cajun guy at Raging Cajun on Richmond, right there by the railroad tracks, who always wore the crawfish pants every day.
Correct. Every day. That was his uniform for about 20 years.
Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the Mandola family, they comprise one of Houston's premier restaurateur families. So give us a quick history of your family, Dominic.
The Mandola family got off the boat in 1899, and we went through New York. We didn't get off the boat in New York, and they came over to Galveston and got off the boat in Galveston and migrated over to Dickerson, Texas. And then throughout the years, they worked their way to Houston. And at the beginning, most of all of our family owned grocery stores back in the day around the Fourth Ward part of Houston. And then in the 70s, we all started cooking and opening restaurants.
And the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, most of all the Mandolas did Italian food. And then my dad, after high school, my dad went to USL, which is University of Southwest Louisiana. Now it's called ULL, the University of Louisiana Lafayette, Raging Cajuns. And he met my mom, who was a Cajun from Lake Arthur, Louisiana, named Joan Benoit. And my dad worked at a po' boy shop in Lafayette called the Bourbon Street Po' Boys. And when he came back to Houston, him and his brother decided to open up a Cajun po' boy restaurant.
Well, that was one of my questions. How did a nice boy with an obviously Italian name wind up owning a Cajun restaurant? But you just told us that story.
It was my mom, this beautiful Cajun lady, got him.
Yeah.
Caught him, and he never looked back. And my dad loved the history and the people of Southwest Louisiana and the food and the traditions. I mean, food is a huge part of the everyday life of the Cajun people, and so is food with the, you know, Italians, Italian-Americans. So,
of course,
you know, I think that was, they had a lot in common, even though they're, you know, very different in backgrounds, Cajuns and Italians, still food, Catholic,
right,
you know, religion, everything was built around people and family. So I can see the connections between my mom and my dad.
As a matter of fact, Dominic is in God's country right now, Southwest Louisiana.
Yes, I am.
Why are you there, Dominic?
Every year I take a field trip with some of my staff members to Southwest Louisiana so I can show them different restaurants. We can go try out different dishes. We also went and looked at some of the crawfish fields so they can understand and have an idea of true Southwest Louisiana food, but also what it takes to produce Louisiana crawfish and get them over to Texas. You know, a lot of people come in the restaurant, you know, we've had crawfish since 1976. So a lot of people just walk in and they expect it.
Right.
But it takes a team behind, you know, you've got your fishermen, you've got your farmers. Then once they're off the water, they've got to go in and they've got to bring them to the dock stations. Then at the dock stations, you weigh them in, you clean them, you break them down, you get them in the purge tanks. There's a lot of work behind what it takes to get the product from Southwest Louisiana to Houston. And I just think that, you know, everybody takes a lot of things for granted. So I love showing my team that there's a lot of work behind the scenes so they can actually appreciate what we do. Because it's not as easy as everybody thinks. And then on our way here, we stop and we try boudin and we try gumbo and we try jambalayas. And pretty much in Southwest Louisiana, you have gumbos, you have jambalaya, you have a lot of rice and gravy, and you have seafood. You know, Cajun people eat off the land. That was their big thing. But mostly they live off the land. That's why it's, you know, your sportsman's capital of the world. You know, fishing's great in Louisiana. Everything is right here is they live off the land.
So you mentioned boudin just a moment ago. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
Yep.
So give us your secret, Dominic. How do you make your boudin?
You know, boudin is a mixture of rice, pork, herbs, and spices. Okay. Back in the day, they used to use a lot of pork liver. We don't use pork liver now because we tried to feed everybody, and a lot of people didn't like that. So we just stick with pork, no liver. But boudin is like a gumbo, Randy. And that's what I'm showing my staff right now, is that everybody's gumbo is different. You know, everybody has their recipe, you know. Everybody's boudin is a little bit different. Some of the boudin we tried yesterday, we tried boudin at two stores. One was called In-Laws, and In-Laws was in Iowa, and theirs was good. They had a more of the same percentage as rice to meat as we do. They put a little bit more green onion in theirs than we do, but it was tasty. And then we went to Best Stop, which is in Scott, Louisiana, which is really famous place for their boudin, which is really good boudin. And they do more, they have more pork, more meat, less rice in theirs. And I was going back to what I just said, I was showing them that there's boudin places. You got Don's, which is really famous in Lafayette. You've got Billy's, which is famous. This is all in Scott, Louisiana, which is right on the outside of Lafayette, kind of like Sugar Land to Houston, just right there. And today we're going to go around again, and we'll probably hit boudin Billy's today, so I can show them one more so they can see the difference in three. They had one that was more meaty, then they had one that had more of a rice percentage in there, which is more like ours, but had a lot more green onion than we. So today I figured let's go to Billy's and see there so we can talk about it. Because I love when we go to these restaurants and we eat their food, I love to break it down and talk about it. Because once we talk about it, I feel that my staff can talk more to our customers and they can relate to it. Because, you know, Houston is such a diverse city that when we hire our staff, we don't have a 100% Cajun staff. You with me? That's kind of hard to do now.
Right.
In Houston, you know, all the restaurants, just Mexican restaurants, have all different cultures now working in all these specialty restaurants. I'd consider Raging Cajun specialty because we're Cajun food. So I think it's kind of an education factor I try to bring in to my management system. So when people ask, hey, are y'all, you know, is the owner from Louisiana, or where do you get your boudin, or how do you make your boudin? I like my staff to be able to communicate and talk, and it just gives such a better experience to the customer.
And now you know why the staff at Raging Cajun knows Cajun cuisine better than any place in Houston, because they actually go to Southwest Louisiana and find out for themselves.
Yes.
It's always delightful to talk to Dominic Mandola of Raging Cajun. What's your website, Dominic?
Raging-Cajun.com.
Hey, listen, tell Luke and Tony hello from me and remind them that I'm still good for bail money if they need it. You know, just like back in the old days.
You got it, Randy.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something else?